Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
I don't want to make excuses. We had three games in 14 days. That certainly takes it out of teams. Like, I heard Jack O'Connor talking about it yesterday, and that's Kerry and the depth of their squad.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street, the Classica.
There we go.
Yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely. Hello, hello. Happy Thursday and welcome back to Word on the Street. Susanna here and I'm with Eve. Eve, how are you?
I'm all good. How are you?
I'm good. All over the Word on the Street, all over my social media this week has been the incredible weekend for Irish cricket. If you have been living under a rock and you haven't managed to see it somewhere, basically what happened is that the Irish men's T20 side kicked it off with a first ever win in any format against the world champions India on Friday. And then if that wasn't enough, they backed it up with another one-run win on Sunday to win the series, 2-0. India's first T20 series loss since December 2023, so an absolutely massive achievement. And then sandwiched in between that, the women's side won their first ever game in a World Cup, over in Bristol. They beat the West Indies by 6 wickets, which I'm told is a pretty comprehensive win. But we're delighted to say we have the men's and women's captains, Orla Prendergast and Lorcan Tucker. Sorry, I was about to call you Orla Comerford, but that's the track star. No, we have cricket stars in with us today to give us a rundown of everything that happened. So how are you guys? Are you still buzzing with everything that went down at the weekend?
Yeah, we're great. I'm still coming down from the clouds, but very happy, obviously, and just trying to relax and unwind and get back to earth.
Yeah, and yourself, when did you come back over from the UK?
Yeah, we got back on Sunday. A hectic weekend, but flew back the next day and, yeah, just resting this week now, coming down from the clouds.
Yeah, I can imagine. We might start with yourself, Lorcan. I mean, an unprecedented win, I suppose. Going into the series, was this even on your radar? I mean, obviously, as athletes, you always believe that you can win, but, I mean, these are the world champions and they hadn't lost a T20 series in three years or something?
We knew they were a pretty formidable team. Tough opponents, usually exceptional at home and exceptional away. I think your stat there about them not losing a series in 2 years plus. We knew it was going to be a tough challenge. The one thing we did know was that the conditions were going to be slightly in our favour. We knew Stormont quite well. The ground is slightly bigger and the pitch isn't as good as what they're used to. I would have said that was the main taking we went into the week with. And then just trying to play with good energy. We obviously had quite a few injuries. A few of our senior guys were missing, but I think we just showed that we do have depth in our squad and that lads can come out and perform even against the world champs.
After you won the first one as a captain, I mean, it was your first time captaining, was it?
Yeah, first time as a permanent captain.
As a permanent captain, okay. What did you turn around and say to them? Because there must have been an element of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Then and also, okay lads, we know we can do this, let's go bloody do it again.
Yeah, no, there was. I think everyone was absolutely elated and over the moon on Friday, but that is the challenge, to try and get everyone to come back and do it again the next day. So I tried to address that in the change room and just let them know that there is another game in 2 days' time. I think the group were so excited, though, that they knew there was an opportunity to do something special. We had seen that it was possible to beat them, that the conditions were in our favour. We had maybe adapted slightly better than India to those. So I think if we just went in with the same intent, similar plans, really, I don't think we wanted to change too much from the style or how we had played the game on Friday. And I think it was a bit more of a gritty match. I think maybe the pitch wasn't as good, so it didn't allow for freedom of play. But I think we held our nerve really, and that was the real challenge. Sometimes I feel like in those pressure situations, we can't quite do that, often due to maybe a lack of experience or experience under pressure. But on Sunday, we were able to show that we could do it. So I think a massive high, obviously, now for that group, for those lads that have performed, they can show their ability. So, yeah, obviously very proud of everyone.
And how far in advance to that first match had you known you were going to be captain?
I had figured it was coming for a while, but formally maybe only 2 or 3 weeks, I think. So it was something I was trying to build. I'd captained the domestic team, Leinster Lightning, for the last 2 years. So I felt like I had a bit of experience, obviously quite familiar with a lot of the lads. So I feel like we'd been building those relationships. So I feel like when I was able to go in, I think I knew them well enough to know how to try and motivate them for this series, even though it was against the world champions. And maybe it did something right, I don't know. But yeah.
And for yourself, Orla, being over in a World Cup, I know it's not your first time, but talk us through just what it was like over in the UK, getting your first win. I mean, it just must have been an incredible experience from start to finish.
Yeah, an absolutely amazing experience. Bit of a whirlwind, I think, when you're over there. The games kind of fly by, and then I think it's only when you come home and you look back on the last month you can really kind of take in what an amazing experience it was. A tournament of ups and downs, I suppose. For us, we started disappointingly against Scotland, but to finish as we did against the West Indies, I think we knew we had that win in us all throughout the tournament. And yeah, to find that performance right in our last day, it was just so pleasing.
6 wickets, what does that actually mean? If you're able to sum it up, I read that it's a comprehensive win, but how big is it?
Yeah, pretty comprehensive. I think we bowled first in that game. We bowled really well. We kept them to a definitely below par score on that pitch in Bristol and batted really well. We lost Gabby Lewis early in the chase, which is obviously a bit of a setback, but yeah, I think we took the chase on pretty perfectly, to be honest. And with about 5 overs left, I think we probably knew we had the game in our hands and that we were going to take it home.
You've been in cricket for quite a long time, am I right?
Yeah.
But I know you've told this story before, so sorry for rehashing it, but you were a footballer underage. And I've read around kind of your choice to step away from football and step into cricket. Could you maybe just tell the listeners a little bit about kind of that path and maybe why you did that?
Yeah, I was definitely more of a footballer growing up. I definitely preferred it, and I actually think I was probably a lot better at football throughout my youth. But yeah, then at around 16 or 17, I kind of started enjoying cricket a lot more. I'd spent all my summers down in Pembroke, my home club, and I just absolutely loved it. I had a great bunch of friends down there that really kept me in the sport. And a time came, there was kind of a break in the football season. It was turning to a summer sport as well. So I had to make the decision between either one. And yeah, it was just one summer. I just thought I'd give it a proper go for a few months. I definitely didn't think I would stick with it. It was more just a kind of shot in the dark. A few of the girls had said, just give it a proper go and see how you react. And yeah, I just loved it. Loved it from the minute I started. The environment was such a nice one to join. And yeah, I never wanted to leave it.
Is that what made you stick with it then? Just how much you were enjoying it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was definitely the environment and the group of girls. I've made some of my best friends for life in that team. And yeah, that's definitely what made me make that decision.
Mm. And when you were kind of growing up, obviously it was in an environment where professional contracts in cricket at all in Ireland, but maybe in women's cricket especially, weren't the done thing at all. Was your decision made just before kind of these professional contracts came in, or did you kind of see it coming? Was that a factor in your decision?
No, to be honest, it actually wasn't a factor. I definitely didn't think cricket would be my job at that point. The players and women that played before me definitely had done a lot of the hard work there in patrolling for contracts and making sure that they came in at some point for us. But no, it definitely wasn't really a big factor. I think probably playing football over in England at the time was probably a lot more of a prospective job in sport, if you will. So yeah, it definitely wasn't really to do with that.
And that wasn't something you were eager to do, to pop over to England to play football?
Not really, no. I'm quite a homebody, so I think I probably would have struggled to move away at that age. So yeah, cricket, then obviously when contracts came in and that opportunity arose, it was perfect for me really to have a full-time professional job as a cricketer and to stay at home.
It's pretty insane, the concept of the contracts. I only was reading this when I was doing a bit of reading for this earlier in the week, that they were the second sport in Ireland to bring in professional contracts for women, which is pretty incredible and something that's maybe gone under the radar a bit. Like, obviously the first one was the rugby and then cricket after that. How huge was that for you? Obviously it kept you in the sport, so that's a massive thing, but just in terms of where cricket has gone in terms of a women's sport, how huge was that for getting it on the map a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely massive. I think for any young girls in Ireland to be able to see that there is now contracts in place and there's jobs to be had there if they do commit to cricket and keep playing, it's just huge. I think we've seen definitely, I think the contracts came in 4 or 5 years ago, full-time contracts, and we've seen the growth in the game since then. Starting with the women's team and the wins that they've gotten over the last few years and just the following. I think it's grown so much, and the amount of people that come to our games, young girls that come along, it's pretty incomparable to before contracts came in. So yeah, just the investment's been so welcome and so big for us as a team.
Are you able to play full time then? Like, that's your full time job, playing cricket?
Yeah.
That's full-time. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
And Lorcan, we mentioned the 6 wickets. Obviously, you guys won by one run in that second game. I was actually watching it because my boyfriend's dad had it on his phone, and I was like, what cricket are you watching? You never watch cricket. And then he was like, Ireland are about to beat India for the second time. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, the stress of those last couple of minutes must have been insane, knowing that you had to keep them within such a small range.
Yeah. I think they needed about 35 off two overs, which we felt like would a big challenge for them with only a couple of wickets left. So I went to our strike bowler that day. Jai had bowled brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I think he went for about 15, which in the context of the game wasn't that bad at that time. And I knew I'd one over to bowl, and I had a few guys to choose from. I went to Harry, who's traditionally maybe not the best matchup against a right-handed batter. Off-spin bowling can be a bit of a target for a batter of right hand. But I knew that Harry had bowled previously in the match. He had experience. He had batted well. I think he was really in the right frame of mind to take it on. Halfway through the over, I might have doubted that. When he bowled a beamer, like a waist-high no ball that nearly got hit for six. Somehow it didn't. But it's always in cricket. It's always about the next ball. I think whatever has been has been. And Harry was able to close it out. I think it was 8 off the last ball, and it went for 6. So maybe the scoreline flattered India a tiny bit, because I feel like the game was done with 2 balls to spare. But yeah, obviously very special. Probably the biggest moment of pressure I felt under, maybe as a player in my entire career. But very lucky to have the players at my disposal who could execute when I needed for them.
So is that how that works? You kind of pick and choose on the day, on the time, who you're going to put where at what point of the game?
Yeah, it's very fluid, yeah.
Okay.
So you're kind of like an in-match manager, if you know what I mean, making little decisions again and again, micro decisions nearly, if you know what I mean, constantly trying to adjust the game in your favour, I think.
Interesting. That's quite a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
I think the role of the captain in cricket is quite unique. I think you have to make a lot of decisions that you maybe in football might be outsourced to a manager. But I think it's just the nature of the game and how it's designed, if you know what I mean. So I suppose with the Ben Stokes news at the weekend, I think they had found such a brilliant captain in him. That's why it was such big news in the UK. But yeah, no, obviously a great job and very proud to be able to do it, and especially in these circumstances.
And am I right in saying that you play all three formats? I mean, you're obviously the captain of the T20 International, but you play all three formats.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you have one that you prefer?
I don't know if I'd say prefer. I do like the Red Bull. I feel like we've had good success in that recently. I think there's no hiding in Red Bull cricket and Test match cricket. You need to play really well to win. T20 cricket can be a bit more of a lottery often on any given day because of the style of the game and how it's played. It's played so aggressively. And any one player can have a big impact on the game. Often that isn't the case in Test cricket. You need to play really well as a team for 4 or 5 days in a row. And if you don't do that, you won't win. So I think there's a great challenge around that, and it's great to be able to play it.
And for a country like Ireland, which is, it's quite small, the cricket community, I imagine, in Ireland is quite small as well. Are kind of series wins like this against India, or in general T20 cricket, is this something that Ireland can really push towards almost specialising in terms of this is where we can grind out these victories, and it's a great training ground for young cricketers?
Maybe. I do think T20 cricket is a great way into the game. It's shorter, it's more dynamic, probably for kids, it's more fun. I suppose the longer formats are more challenging. They're longer days. I suppose they're just tougher physically and mentally. But as a way into the game, I think if you look at a lot of the youth setup nowadays, it is T20 cricket. There's a lot of hype around it. The IPL is one of the biggest competitions in the world. It's always on TV for those 2 months in March, April. So I think, and if you look at a lot of the other like smaller teams in cricket at the moment, they'll focus on T20 cricket because they know it might be the quickest way to get into the game and get into the higher, I suppose, echelons of the game. So I think from a youth level, yes, but I think there is no better challenge than playing the longer formats, be that Test cricket or ODI cricket.
Would you be the same? Do you play both?
Yeah, our women's team don't currently play tests. So yeah, just ODIs and T20s for us.
Would you like that one day it would be a case that Ireland is playing full test matches?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the women's team have played maybe one or two before. I actually don't know, but not for years. And yeah, I suppose as the working says, I think I definitely agree that it is the pinnacle really of cricket. I think you have to play so well for extended days. To see our women's team playing test cricket in years to come would definitely be amazing.
That's really interesting to hear from an athlete's point of view, because obviously when you read about the way cricket is changing, and there's a lot of traditionalists who maybe argue, no, keep the like longer tests, and then you've got the way the world is moving, Gen Z, we only have a 5 second attention span. It's like, no, we need T20 because it's going to get new people into the sport. But you guys are firmly of the opinion that the longer tests are still the pinnacle?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, really. Like, you can have the traditionalists who want the longer formats, and you can have the T20 to try and grow the game. Mm-hmm. I definitely think in Ireland we have a small playing pool in general. The game isn't that big. It's behind GAA, football, rugby and other sports as well. So T20 cricket's a great way to build some energy and get some more people into the game. But I think for the kids that do find their way into the game, once you become a student of it, I suppose you're going to tend towards the longer formats, because that's where the real... element of skill. It's the challenge of doing your skill for a longer period of time against someone who's trying to do the exact same on the other side of the fence. I suppose that's the attraction of it.
Yeah, and would you like to reach a stage one day? I know some of the other countries who maybe have that bigger player pool have maybe people who play tests and then people who play T20 and they don't necessarily mix as much. Is that something you'd like, or do you like the opportunity to play both?
Well, it's a challenge to play both. Often, sometimes we might finish a test match one day and then 3 or 4 days later you could be playing a T20 and have to completely try to change your mindset of how you approach the game.
Okay.
So that's tough, but that's part of being a professional, I think. It's what's asked of you and you have to try and do it. So the pool is small at the moment, but I do think it's growing. I think there's large groups of young cricketers in Ireland trying to get out. I think Adamstown are one of the biggest clubs in the country now, out in West Dublin. Huge numbers of players coming through, so we're hoping, I think, and even to what Orla says about the contracts for women, professional contracts with them, all of these are little steps, what happened this weekend, to try and grow the game and get more people into it, I think.
Mm. And, I mean, if we're looking at the growth of cricket in Ireland, the 2030 Men's T20 World Cup is going to be co-hosted by Ireland and the UK. I mean, that must be something that is a sort of huge excitement for this generation of cricketers, knowing that we could be playing, like, on home territory very soon.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing. I think they turned the first sod there last week or 2 weeks ago. So
that's up in Stormont.
Yeah, that's in...
Oh, in Dublin,
in Dublin, yeah. But they are redeveloping Stormont as well. So there's a lot of excitement about the game. I think it's just up to us to try and capture it as much as possible with our own performances, and that when people are watching and they flick on the TV, that they can see that Irish cricket's in a good place.
Can you see kind of both of you from when you first started playing cricket to where you are now, that there's been an influx in not even media attention, but kind of like fans attending matches and the kind of coverage you're getting maybe on TV or anything? Can you see the increase in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty, it's a stark contrast in women's cricket. I think when I debuted in 2019, and I mean, I was probably pretty naive. I didn't read into the media much, but I don't think there was a whole lot of coverage, definitely of Irish women's cricket and women's cricket as a whole. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of franchise leagues coming in, which have grown the game globally for women's cricket. And yeah, I suppose within Irish cricket, there's definitely a huge increase in coverage. Across different platforms, which is great to see.
How do those franchise leagues work? Because I know you might go and play a couple of games for a team in England, or you might go to a league elsewhere in the world. So how does that work with your kind of contract with Irish cricket as well?
Yeah, so it's kind of just if you're free at the time, you can go and play franchise leagues. Often they try and avoid international series for the bigger nations, at least, so that their main players can go and play. So yeah, there's different ones around. There's a massive one in India, probably the biggest one in the world, the WBBL in Australia, and hopefully a lot more coming in women's cricket. I know there's a lot more in men's cricket at the moment, but yeah, fingers crossed more countries can start building them up, and then yeah, more opportunities will come for Irish players, hopefully.
How cool is that, just from a personal point of view, getting to play cricket in these really, I suppose, cricket hot nations, but then also just getting to go to the likes of India, Australia? I mean, it must be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, very cool. I went to the Big Bash a couple of years ago over in Australia, and that was an amazing experience. I think I played with some unbelievable players. You work with new coaches, and Australia is obviously a pretty cool country to come visit. So all the major cities over there. I think franchise cricket only poses amazing opportunities for players. So fingers crossed our Irish girls haven't gotten a huge amount of opportunities as of yet, but as I say, I think that there'll definitely be ones coming down the line.
Why is that, if I may ask? Is it just because they're not quite on the global map yet, like maybe in people's minds?
Yeah, I think so. I think when there's windows that ensure that all the major nations, Australia, India, England, all their best players are available, it's definitely hard to break in in front of those players. But at the same time, I think winning games at World Cups, as we've just done, will definitely help us on that journey. We've had different players stand up throughout the tournament, and it's such a young team. We definitely have so many young players coming through that I can definitely see breaking through, and fingers crossed, yeah, the more games we win at World Cups, I think the more attraction we'll get.
Mm. Do you have any exciting things coming up for you or for Ireland?
Yeah, well, always tough for Ireland, and I am currently signed with Blaze over in England, playing county cricket over there, so I'm going back there at the end of the summer to play in their 50-over competition. And yeah, then it's kind of just waiting to see what comes your way. I think the 100 is coming up over in England. So Ireland's obviously pretty close to there. So you never know, maybe it's an injury replacement or things like that. But yeah, these franchise things, it's just kind of waiting to see what comes your way.
How do you, I know the 100 is sometimes a bit of a contentious subject for kind of people who are really long 5-day test match purists. I love my long 5-day test match, but I also really do like the 100. I find it a really exciting format to watch. Would that be something you'd really love to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it looks like such a fun competition to be a part of. I definitely have seen a lot of that, some contrasting opinions on the new format. But I mean, I think it's brought a huge amount of attraction to the game over there, and a lot of young kids come into it. So yeah, I mean, it would be a great competition to be a part of.
Lorcan, I saw you said about franchise cricket that it's great for the development of the game in Ireland, because you can kind of go away, learn from other people, other countries, and then bring it back. Build on that a little bit, and like, how much has that influenced maybe this Irish cricket team that you're now captaining?
Yeah, well, we have a small playing pool in Ireland, and we play amongst ourselves for Ireland quite a bit and against other teams. But all of the other teams often are playing franchise cricket outside of their own international setups, okay, kind of like Orla described. And I think when you get that opportunity to go into a new environment, new coaches, new players, new conditions, it gives you a great opportunity to learn. And if you're not getting those opportunities, it often means that the game is growing quickly and you're not quite getting access to that growth. And then it'll only be recognised, I think, when you come up against other teams and you see that they're playing the game differently to how you're playing it potentially. And then you have to try and catch up, follow them. But if you can be in the franchise circuit, often that's where the growth of the game happens, and the slightly different things that are being introduced to the games, new styles of playing, often that's where it's happened, because I think there's like free will in franchise cricket in a way. There's less pressure to perform. International cricket is high pressure environment and teams need to win. So often that means maybe playing slightly more conservatively. The general trend of the game will always go towards how franchise cricket is being played, if that makes sense.
Is there any specific thing you can think of that maybe changed recently that was kind of followed that path?
Well, I think the IPL, they tweak their rules every year slightly. They play an impact sub at the moment, which is like a 12th player that they can bring in and swap for someone that's already played the game.
Which
it gives a team basically an extra player playing the match, and it means they have either an extra bowler or an extra batter. Which then means they can play differently because of that, because they know they have more in reserve. And it means they can play more freely. So that's something that has been introduced to the game more recently. It isn't an international cricket. And maybe, I don't know, the Indian players have just come out of the IPL. They might have been used to having that buffer of having that extra player in the team, and then which isn't there in international cricket. So, yeah, there are a few things that are happening, but I think there's only been one Irish player ever in the IPL, Josh Little. So he got access to that. Just fabulous for him, and I think he knows how lucky he was to have that opportunity and to get that experience of playing in that competition.
Yeah.
And are we seeing kind of, I suppose, where do you want Irish cricket to be over the next kind of 4 or 5 years? Question for both of you, I guess, on the men's and the women's side, because, I mean, the Women's T20 World Cup is what, every 2 years? Mm-hmm. Is the goal now to be qualifying consistently every year? Is the goal for the men's team to be... So that these kind of series wins aren't something that we're going to be saying is a huge achievement. It's going to be something that you're going to want to be doing consistently.
Yeah, thankfully we've already qualified for the next T20 World Cup, which is in Pakistan in a couple of years. But yeah, I think going to every T20 World Cup and ODI World Cups are harder to qualify at the moment. Only 10 teams, so it's trickier. Last one was only 8. So yeah, I think getting into an ODI World Cup definitely would be huge, and going to every World Cup, I think, is where I'd like to see the women's game going. And yeah, I think just general growth off the pitch is another thing that I think we're always trying to push. Already touched on it through the media attention, but just keep growing that, I think, is a huge focus of ours. And consistently beating teams ranked above us, we've done it really well. Over the last 18, 24 months, we've beaten a lot of teams ranked above us, and it's always called a shock in the media, which I suppose it is a shock when a lower ranked team beats a higher ranked team. But when you do it as consistently as we have, I'm hoping it won't be called a shock so often, and that it'll just be common course that we're a really good side that can beat those sides that are ranked above us.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing for the men's
yeah,
teams?
For
that
us,
the next time you beat India, you're kind of like, yeah, we've done it before.
we have. The World Cups are your main, I suppose, metric as Irish cricket teams, how you perform in them. I think from the men's perspective, we had a good T20 World Cup in 2022, not so good 2024, and not so good this year again. So that's been disappointing. And I think the bilateral series in between you use as kind of a way to expand your game, improve, and make sure that when you do go to those next World Cups, because they're the tournaments that have all the hype and all the attention on them. I think I'd love to see the men's team try and go into the next stage of those competitions, get into the Super Six stages, get into the semi-finals. So if that could happen in the next 4 or 6 years, I think that would be a serious transition for that team, and then to climb the world rankings as well with that. I suppose those two things will go together. Yeah.
When you're looking to the future, it's hard not to ask, obviously, about the news that came out after your huge win, which is that your coach Heinrich will be stepping away and the assistant coach Gary Wilson is coming in. Did that come as a shock to you? And I suppose how did the players react?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shock. We didn't know about it before the series. I think credit to Heinrich. I think he tried to keep it to himself and maybe amongst the coaching staff. I don't think he didn't want to interfere with the playing group and I suppose their preparation and all that. So that was very noble of him. I think it did come as a shock. He played a big part in our team for the last 4 years. He came in 2022 and with the new methods, things we hadn't seen before, a new style of communicating, of directing, of coaching, that he had obviously learnt in South Africa and New Zealand and where he applied his trade before. I think it was very direct and it was something we weren't used to at the time. But I think it forced people to really pay attention to what they were doing, how they were training, how professional they were, and how they're performing, and maybe taking more responsibility and accountability for your own performance. So he was brilliant. I'm sad to see him go, but at the same time, I think Gary's played a big role in our setup. He's a brilliant manager, a brilliant communicator, so I have no doubt he'll do a great job as well.
Is it difficult just with the timing, the fact that you've come off, obviously, this huge win with this coach, and now you won't get to take that forward with him, but then I suppose because Gary's been a part of that as well, it's still somewhat kind of going forward off the...
I think it's just the life cycle of professional sport, if you know what I mean. Like coaches, they come in and out and they try and implement their methods, and then often, you know, that will come to an end at some stage. I suppose a slightly natural progression that's happened this week, and then I think it gives Gary a great opportunity to, I suppose, take what he learned from being assistant coach with our group. I'd say he learned a lot from Heinrich and how to manage a team as a head coach. And I think it gives him a chance to implement maybe some slightly different methods now.
Mm. No, definitely exciting times. And part of that, you mentioned him earlier, but I wanted to ask about him, is Jai, is that how you pronounce his first name?
Jai, yeah.
Jai Mundra. This is just an incredible story.
Yeah.
The fact that he's from India, came out, made his debut for Ireland, and then wins against India. I mean, he must have just been on cloud nine, as you all were. But
no, I don't think he knew quite what was going on, to be honest. He couldn't quite believe it. He played for the domestic team, our Leinster Lightning team, for the last couple of years.
Okay.
And previously to that, he'd only played club cricket here. He studied here a couple of years ago and then worked a job in Intel, I think. But just with the, I suppose, the spate of injuries we had at the moment gave him an opportunity to come in. He's a pretty low-key guy. I think he wasn't fazed by the big stage, evidently, by his performance. Even playing against India, these guys he would have idolised, I suppose, over the last few years. And growing up, they're a pretty special team with some of the most recognisable names in the world. So, obviously a pretty special performer. And I think he was just able to show his skill and his courage and his ability to do it under pressure.
Did he play at a high level in India, like as a kid, before coming over? Or?
No, I don't think so, no.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, he played here, played domestic cricket here, like showed plenty of promise, and he's done well for us in the Leinster team the last couple of years. But the step up to international cricket can be huge, as Orla knows. I know from myself, the start of my career, that gap is massive and is really challenging to breach. And it took me like 50 games to feel like I could even maybe belong at that level, at international level. But Jai shown in his first week that he can do it. So he's obviously a pretty special player.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost giving an opportunity to someone who might have never thought they'd have a career in cricket growing up, and then their life's just taken a complete twist.
Yeah.
Now here they are beating India.
Absolutely. And it's so good for us, I think, from we had obviously a group of lads who were out injured, but even from a competition perspective, to have other lads coming in who perform, I think it drives us all forward to know that there's someone always coming behind you that wants to take your place. And when they get the opportunity, they can perform. So it should make all of us better, I think, that mindset.
100%.
Yeah, because I think in the lead up to that match, those couple of matches against India, all the talk was about this young Indian star, Suryavanshi, who was like, oh, is he going to make his debut?
The 15-year-old.
And then it's almost like that story was, first of all, he didn't make his debut. And then that story was completely obliterated out of how successful Ireland were. So it kind of seems like you guys completely tore up the narrative of what this match was supposed to be.
I think that's a pretty good way of describing it. I was doing the toss on the Friday and with the Indian captain when he announced his team. Like, there were groans around the entire ground. Everyone, all the Indian fans had come to watch Suryavanshi. So everyone was pretty disappointed. But I think on the flip side, like you said, we gave them something to talk about, I think, on the way home. And then going into Sunday again, I think it did change the narrative around what was expected from that series. And I think it's great to have that excitement around that the game can, I suppose, throw up unexpected results and that things can happen outside of what people expect to happen.
Orla, did you, obviously you guys were very focused on your own tournament, but did you guys watch their first win and would you be kind of close? Would you talk to each other? Like, did that give you an oomph going into that West Indies game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we did. We were training at the time, but yeah, we added up on a big screen, so anyone who had free time at the time that wasn't batting or bowling could go in and watch. And our training finished just as that final over was going on. So yeah, I mean, to see them do that the day before, we had had a tough enough tournament up until that point, but I think it just reiterates how fickle T20 cricket is, you know, that it can be any team's day. And yeah, they took the game on exactly how we wanted to, and Lloyd, our coach, said in our team talk to go out and play with bravery, as they did, and thankfully we did that next day and made another piece of history in Irish cricket.
Yeah, it's crazy for it to all happen at once. You guys must just be like a little bit like, what's going on?
Yeah, no, it's a big weekend, but it's great to have the coverage around it. I think it was great energy around the sport this weekend. I think everyone's better off for that, both us as professionals and our teams, but also all the kids playing the game and stuff. It should give them, I suppose, great motivation going into the end of the summer, and they're picking up those cricket bats and playing.
Yeah, I mean, on YouTube, across the two tests, there was 6.2 million views on the Cricket Ireland highlights. I mean, you guys get a lot of views in general, but that just shows how much this has infiltrated world news, really, not even just Ireland.
Yeah, well, I know the Indian community, like, they're live.
Yeah, probably about 5 million from them.
I can't tell you. It must be something like that. But yeah, their lives focus around cricket, from the cricketers themselves to the people just, like, going around their lives day to day. So it's obviously pretty special to get that coverage, but with that comes the responsibility, I think, of performing and coming in today and chatting, and it's great for the game.
Do you both know when you next put on an Ireland jersey and you're playing for your country?
Yes, we're playing against West Indies again next week in ODIs this time. So yeah, not much of a turnaround. They're obviously coming straight over from England, so that'll have to be a good competition.
And is that at home?
It is. Yeah, it's up north in Breedy we're playing.
As a cricket noob, what is the difference between ODI and T20? Because I can't be the only one listening who doesn't know.
T20 is 20 overs a side, and then ODIs is 50 overs a side, so just much longer.
Does it take a lot within a week to transition, like in terms of mindset, building into a longer game?
I think so. Lorcan touched on it, probably not quite as much as transferring across to that test mindset. You still want to take the game on and dominate in ODI cricket. But yeah, it's definitely a lot harder on the bodies. I think any seam bowlers coming in from T20 cricket across to ODIs, we're facing a bit of a spike in their workload. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a mindset shift, but nothing we haven't done before.
And for yourself, what's up next?
We play Afghanistan at the start of August here in Ireland again, up north in Breedy, which is outside of Derry, and then in Stormont after that.
And you've beaten them before, am I right?
Yeah, we've had some good series of Afghanistan. We'd be ranked very similar to them. But they're obviously a strong team as well, and they've grown massively over the last 10 years, I think. As a nation, their cricket numbers would be huge now. So with that comes challenges, but I'm very excited to play them. We always play, like, have a good competitive series against them.
And just lastly from me, unless Eve, do you have any other questions?
Fire ahead.
You already mentioned the new cricket stadium that's going to be out in Abbottstown on the Sport Ireland campus. It's going to be the first purpose-built national cricket stadium, 4,200 permanent seats, but that can be expanded to 10,000 to 12,000, which is a huge number compared to, I think there was about 4,000 in Stormont, mm-hmm. and it was sold out. That's going to be huge to play in with, like, the atmosphere around it, but then also I read that there's going to be changing facilities, you can train out there. Just how much of a difference will that make in terms of being professional athletes based in Dublin, that you have this place to go train and play?
Yeah, it'll be pretty amazing. We don't have a permanent home at the moment. We've traditionally played in Stormont and Malahide quite a bit, and in Clontarf as well. So I think to have a dressing room with maybe your name on the wall and somewhere to put your bag would be pretty nice. And obviously very special to have this built. I think the 2030 World Cup for the men's team is very exciting, and hopefully everything will be in place by then and that will be settled and we can rock up and perform in that tournament.
Can you imagine playing? I'm sure you've maybe done it in other countries, but at home in front of 12,000 people, if you took the atmosphere in Stormont and multiplied it by three, like...
We've only had it once or twice at home. I think England 2013, there was maybe 10,000 at a game in Malahide, and we've had India in Malahide for maybe 8,000 previously. But I think knowing that it's permanent and that it's there to last and it's not just a one-off will be pretty special. So yeah, looking forward to it and really hope it happens.
Class. Exciting times ahead. Looking forward to the next couple of tests and also the 2030 World Cup over here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that has been Word on the Street, and we'll be back next week.
Hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street.
Yeah, Classica.
There we go. That's yeah, way well. Better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.